This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
And now I grab her. We're down on the floor. I holler, Wally, Wally. She's kicking me with her feet. I said, Wally, get over and grab her legs. So he's over there. He's got her legs. I got her hands. Me and Wally is running around a traditional Sunday afternoon at the Living Savior Church. 45 minutes. I don't realize how long it is. I'm screaming, come out of her, you devils of hell, in the name of Jesus. And she said, no, we're not coming out, and all this kind of stuff. And finally, they do come out. The little gal gets set free. She gets up, and she says, what am I doing down here on the floor? I said, well, we're having a wrestling match. And she said, would you mind taking your hands off me and letting me go? I said, are you okay? She said, yes. I said, well, get up then. I got up, and she got up, and she kind of gently walked out like she's totally, what was he doing to me? You know? And so she walks out, and I walked over here to these guys up, and I said, boy, what a battle. I said, that was an intensive 15 minutes, wasn't it? The guy sitting there said, I've been sitting here watching y'all for 45 minutes. I said, wow, how fast time goes by when you're having fun, huh? But we were doing spiritual warfare, and that devils in that little girl took me and Wally Bo to hold her down. She's just a little bitty thing. But man, she was a ball of fire. With demons in you, let me tell you, they can do devastating things. But a demon used to intimidate me. But anymore, I believe what the Word says, all power is given to me over them devils. So if all power is given to me over them, if one of them manifests, what should I do? Get afraid? No, absolutely not. Let me tell you, what if you've been sinning? What if you've been sinning and you cast that devil out of her? Guess what he's going to do? He's going to come right back in you. Either that or he's not going to obey you, one of the two. And you're going to go through a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hour intensive battle, and he ain't never going to come out. And all the time he's going to be whistling at his friends, and more than likely before the day's over, you're going to have one or two in you because you were living in sin. And when you start trying to do battle with the devil and you're living in sin, he's going to gang up on you. So don't go there. He's what makes you sick and afflicts you. I'm going to tell you, all sickness and disease starts in the spirit world. All of it. Not a little of it. All of it. Acts 10:38 says, Jesus, anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. So where does sickness and disease come from? The devil. Now then, if we as Christians will learn to walk holy before God, with no sin in our life, like he told us, how much power does the devil have over you? None. Can he make you sick then? Nope. You don't have to be afraid of the executive department in the spirit world as long as you walk in obedience to the Word. Now, if you're walking in obedience to the Word, doing what the Lord told you to do, what can you ask the King for? He gave you a blank check, didn't he? Ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. Well, see, it's obvious that we don't believe those things. Now then, if you're walking there, and he says in Psalm 103, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Somebody said, well, it's not God's will to heal all of us every time. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess one of these days that we're going to have to do a dedicated study on the word all, I guess. I mean, I guess, you know, I did that once in the Greek and the Hebrew both, to really see what the word all translates. And you know what it means? All. Well, just exactly what it says. All. So if he said all, what do you think he meant? All. Okay, so why can't we believe him? Why do we have to say, well, okay, I'm going to come up. I got this sickness. I'm going to come up. I'm going to repent. I'm going to have you pray this scripture over me. And now then, I'm going to hope that by next Thursday when I go to the doctor, this thing's not there. You didn't believe nothing. If you believed, you wouldn't sweat going back to the doctor. Yeah, that's me. That's personally. But if you don't believe it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go back to a doctor. Yeah. Now, is it difficult for Christians to believe God's word when you can't see God? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's definitely something else. Let's look and see here. He says, well, he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, and he redeems your life from destruction. Now, if you're not walking in sin, you don't have to worry about this. Your life is not going to be condemned in destruction. He's going to redeem you from that. But if you're living in sin, sin brings forth what? Death. Sin brings forth death. Sin brings forth death. And it will do it through sickness and disease. Now then, the first time you sin, depending upon what you do, it may or may not bring forth an instantaneous death. You may live in sin for years and years and years, but you'll not live a very good quality of life. If you make the wrong decisions, let's just take, and some of you people in here may be smokers. Smoking won't take you to hell, but smoking will destroy your body. If you are a born-again Christian, it'll just get you there a little quicker than God planned for you to get there. And in the process of getting there, you stink. Y'all know where I'm coming from? I mean, in fact, yesterday, I was out working on a septic tank, and the septic tank, a 500-gallon septic tank with a lid off of it that's full, and I'm putting a new one right past it, which is dry, and I'm in it, drilling the holes in it, and fixing to put the pipe through there, and while I'm cutting the holes, a guy walks out, stands up on top, I'm at least as far from this brother here in the blue shirt, down in that hole away from him, and he's standing there, and a little bit of wind blowing, and he comes out there, and he's smoking a cigarette. And I said, wow, that's a strong cigarette you're smoking. He said, you mean you could smell that cigarette down there where you are? I said, yeah, and it's awful. Now, why am I so susceptible to that nasty cigarette out in the air around the septic tank? Why am I so susceptible to that? Because my lungs are clean. My lungs are not contaminated with that stuff. I don't stay in those kind of places. I don't filter that stuff into my heart. It doesn't come into my lungs. My lungs are clear. And so by being clear, when you just get a whiff of it, man, it stinks. It smells awful. You walk into a restaurant where people are smoking. I mean, the other day I walked into a restaurant out there in Justin, and they've got a non-smoking section and a smoking section. And I walked in there about 11:30, and there was all kinds of men in there, and they were all on this side, or about two-thirds of them, they were smoking. I walked through the front door, and I thought, oh, my goodness. I went over to the other side, and I sat down, and I sat there for a few minutes. Before the lady came with the menu, I said, forget it. I got up and walked back outside. I said, Lord, ain't no way. I am going to pay them money to sit here and eat their food and filter that junk into my body while I'm eating here. I got up and walked out. So if I go back to that restaurant, I try to go earlier or far later when there's very few people there. Because I don't like to filter that crud into my lungs. I mean, last time I checked, this thing that I live in belongs to Jesus, and it's the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. And if he's in there, I don't want to offend the king. Amen. If you offend the king, what do you think he's going to do for you? Huh? Nothing. He's not going to do nothing for you. You had a question?
Well, I was going to say, there's stuff in the air, cars have all this stuff in the air. Isn't there a place where we can do the best we can, and then we can trust God the rest of the way?
Amen.
And we can keep that. I've been praying lately over my food. Since
Amen.
And just if there's any bad element from packaging all the way through that I'm not aware of, that it will not stay in my body and contaminate it out.
Amen. In other words, what this brother is saying up here, some of you probably couldn't hear him, but he has learned you don't ever eat a bite of food or drink a drink of no kind without blessing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you pick up something to eat or drink it, you can eat it or drink it, but only after blessing. If you take food and things that are put today before you, many of the animals that you will eat or that processed food or whatever, it's been contaminated by some form or fashion. And if you eat it without blessing, I will guarantee it will make your body sick. It may take a lot of years to do it, but it will do it. In other words, almost everything you look at today on the package, if it says partially hydrogenated, it's ruined. It technically is ruined. And we eat that kind of stuff all the time. Anything that says it's partially hydrogenated is a food you should never let come into your body unless you pray over it first. I mean, since I don't know what's come in contact with everything, I'm like this brother up here. I would never eat anything without blessing it first. And that's another question that was on that deal the other day. What does Mr. Scrivener eat? Does he eat only health foods? And the young lady wrote back and said he eats anything that's set before him, but he eats it in the right proportions only after blessing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, if I go in and I have going to sit down to eat, there's two things you got to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We were invited to a little speaking engagement. I wasn't speaking. We were just to be there. But we went over to one of those all-you-can-eat restaurants the other night. Cheryl, she just throws a fit every time I want to take her to an all-you-eat restaurant. No, I don't want to go there. And I keep telling her, honey, all you got to do is just exercise discipline. She don't like that either. That makes her upset at me when I do that. But I'm going to tell you, we went into this place, and it was one of those all-you-can-eat places. And I'm going to tell you that I didn't see a half a dozen people in that place that was slim and trim. And I saw a whole lot more people grossly overweight than there was. Now, see, what those people have not realized, they're yielding to the enemy. And they think, I'm going to go here to this place, and for $9 I can eat all I want, and so that I can get full. But you don't realize what you're doing. It's another way of listening to the devil to shorten your life on this earth. I read a doctor's report one time. For every, I forget how many, I think he said like every 10 pounds or something of body weight you put on, it told how many more feet of arteries and veins your body had in it, and therefore your heart's got a pump to put that through there. And, I mean, it's just amazing. When I read that, I thought, Lord, help me never to be overweight, because what I'm doing is killing myself. I'm killing myself. You know, so if you do that, your heart, which can never take a break, it can never rest. I mean, when you think that the average heart, has anybody ever been to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago? Anybody ever? Okay, you have been. You ever been in that big heart up there? I guess they still got it. Years ago, they used to have a big heart up there, and you could go inside the heart, you could look at all the arteries, and you could look at all the compartments and everything. And then they got these manometers out here, and it's got a squeeze bulb on it that says push the mercury up in this manometer to this level, and this on a good heart with a good arteries all clean, this is how hard the heart has to work.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.